Well, good morning. I'm so glad that we are here. That last hymn is a hymn that has really changed my life, to fully rely on God and not on anything else. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I wish the writer would have said, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every second I need thee. It wouldn't have gone well with the song, but I think there are times where I just need God every second of every minute of every hour of every day. I don't know about you, but I really need a hug. I really do. I need a hug. How many of you need a hug right now? Yes. I mean, I need a hug, and I'm kind of like, you know, I'm a hugging kind of guy, and I'm kind of like, how does Olaf put it? I'm Olaf, and I like warm hugs, you know, that's me. I mean, I like nice hugs, and I miss the comfort of a nice, now Jen gives me hugs, and Caden gives me hugs, and that, you know, they're good hugs, but there's something about just wrapping your arms and giving somebody a nice big bear hug, and you know, maybe you think that's a little bit weak, or maybe I'm not a manly man for saying that. I really don't care what you think. I like hugs, and I miss them, and I truly appreciate a nice strong handshake. I don't like those weak handshakes, right? Give me a nice strong handshake and a nice good embrace, and there's something about an embrace, right, that makes us feel safe. It makes us feel secure. It makes us feel loved. It makes us feel comforted. And recently, our brother Keith passed away. And I considered Keith a good friend, a close friend. And even though we'd only known each other just for a couple of years, I read this about 80 times so I would not be too emotional up here. But I wish that that friendship would have been able to grow and get deeper in the years to come. When he went to glory, I think myself and others, we were left with this awkward feeling of trying to grieve without the ability of being with the family or seeing Keith towards the end of his time. And it was difficult for me not to go over to the house. And other people have passed since then, right? I mean, and even here just recently, you know, Joyce. It's difficult as a pastor to not be able to go over there and be with them during these times. And we know where Keith is, amen, without a doubt. We know the foundational faith that he had in Jesus, and we know that he loved Jesus tremendously, and he passed that on to his family. It was a testimony of hope and of love and of grace and of fortitude during difficult times, of encouragement and of strength. That's who he was, right? And I so appreciate the time that he and his family had together, just them, right? And when I heard the news from Dawn, my heart went out to her and the kids. And as I began to think about it, I thought, you know, it's so difficult during this time to lose someone, but I was so grateful that they could be right with him, just them together in the house. I appreciate the time that we had together. He was a man's man. I appreciated him, right? And I appreciate Keith and I's exchanges each week where we would call each other studs, you know, that would be our thing. You know, you're a stud. And we would say those things. I appreciate so many little smirks and head nods that we would give each other, as I know I give some of you here. And the laughter at some interesting ways in which we told each other goodbye was always something that was a highlight of our time together. I appreciated his willingness, though, to just come up and give me a hug. I mean, Keith could kind of read me decently well. I wear everything on my face, so most people can read me. But he came up, and he would give me a hug oftentimes. And when I heard the news, I passed the information on to the staff so that they would be aware of this. And I came in the next day, and I had walked into church, and I ran into some of the leaders from the construction company that was here, Ames. Jan, who's kind of the head honcho leader, and then Junior, who's kind of the on-site leader, and they're standing right over here inside of kind of where the organ is. And Dean was in here too. And I walked into this space, and all of a sudden a flood of emotion came over me, recognizing that Keith was one of the ones that helped plan this. And then I was standing in this space, and then I was thinking about this, and my heart sank, and the tears rolled out, and Dean came tossing aside social distance, and I'm glad he did. I was a supporter of that time, right? And he came up, and he gave me a hug, and it was at that moment that, And maybe you've experienced this, but that time in which you kind of just sink into somebody, right? And he kind of had me and held me and cried with me. And just, it was a moment that I knew that I needed, because crying sometimes and being held is one of the most therapeutic things that we can do for one another during a time of hurt and of pain and of questioning. And that hug from Dean, right? The hugs that I got from Keith, the hugs that I got from Ron Holter at Frederick Church of the Brethren. He's a tree. I mean, it's just hugging a tree. The times and the hugs that I got from the Eubank and the Woody families when I was at Happy Corner, and countless others, even here in this room, the hugs that I get who have walked with me in this journey provides comfort in the midst of struggle, or when I was just having a bad day, or when honestly I just needed to be held by somebody. Comfort. Comfort one another. Now, looking over this past year, I think there are many things that we can be thankful for. Oftentimes, I think we only remember the bad things, and we forget that God got us through those times by his grace. We can't change the past, but we can certainly be thankful for how God brought us through in a victorious way. And I love the way the Apostle Paul begins this letter. Now, I encourage you to go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 1. He encourages us, the Corinthians and the Christians as well. He begins this letter by talking about the comfort we receive. Paul's trying to encourage all of us that God has a comfort for us that is nothing compared to this world. Now, if we can get a grasp on this understanding of comfort, it's going to make our Christian experience a ton more joyful than it is, right? Nothing we can experience will ever compromise the comfort that God has for us. Listen to that phrase again. Nothing we experience can never compromise the comfort God has for us. Paul's encouraging us here to believe that the God has the comfort we need when we need it. And one of the most interesting things in this first chapter is that Paul starts off by sharing all of these troubles that he's going through. Many times that he didn't think he was going to make it, right? And it's an amazing time. And he says, we want you to know, Christian brothers, of the trouble we had in the countries of Asia, he starts out. The load was so heavy, Paul says, and we didn't have enough strength to keep going. And at times, we didn't even think we could live, he says. We thought we were going to die. I mean, this happened so that we would not put our trust in ourselves, but in the God who raises the dead. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine that the Apostle Paul had come to such a point in his life and ministry that he didn't think it was going to go on, that he thought he was done for. Right? I don't know about you. I've had moments in my life where I thought, this is it. Here we go. We're all done. This is it. I'm not going to be able to do this. I cannot take one more step. I'm finished. See, the enemy would have us think that God had abandoned us during those times, right? And we're on our own, but that's just not the case. Paul is pointing out to something that's quite different. See, when we think we have reached the end of our strength, we discover God's grace is just the beginning. Yes, Paul goes on to say, God kept us from what looked like sure death, and he is keeping us, right? We trust in him, and he will keep us in the future. Do you notice the tense is there? God kept us from what looked like sure death, and he is keeping us, and we trust in him, and he will keep us in the future. God keeps us all throughout the story, friends. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no break in the message. God kept us, he keeps us, and he's going to keep us, right? As we trust in him, he will keep us. God hugs us. God hugs us. One thing I want to emphasize today is from verse 3, where Paul says, our God who gives us comfort. No matter what we are going through, God has provided the comfort that we need to endure it victoriously, not just get through it. See, friends, in verse 3, we see that God gives out comfort to each of us individually. It says this, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our Father who shows us loving kindness and our God who gives us comfort. Now, this word comfort and the noun and verb forms occurs no less than 10 times in these verses. It's one-third of the whole time in the whole New Testament that these words of comfort. So these verses are about comfort, right? But see, for us, in our modern use of the word comfort, it has robbed it of all of its strength, right? So in the Bible, comfort, you know, is a lot different. We think of it now as something soft or something soothing. You know, it's like a nice cup of chamomile tea, or you have your essential oils flowing, and it's comforting, right, like that. But in the Bible, comfort is the translation of a word, parkaleo, right? And it means literally to call alongside to help. And it's the same word that Jesus uses about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, verse 6. Our English word for comfort comes from a combination of two words meaning with strength. And so comfort, listen to this, this is good stuff. Comfort means to come alongside of somebody and to give them your strength. I'm gonna wait on that one. I want you to listen to that one. Comfort means to come alongside of somebody and to give them your strength. That's what it means to comfort. When Dean was holding me, he was comforting me. So you never know when you'll need the Lord's comfort the most, will you? For there will be a time when God's care will be your only hope in facing tomorrow. In 1932, a pianist, singer, songwriter Thomas Dorsey discovered his need for God's comfort. See, he had left his pregnant wife, Nettie, at home in Chicago, and he drove his Model A to St. Louis to sing at a revival meeting. And all went well. The crowd responded enthusiastically. And after Dorsey was finished kind of ministering, he received a telegram of the tragic news that his wife had passed, and soon the baby had passed as well. Filled with grief, Dorsey sought answers to the many questions that he had. And after a few days of Nettie's death, Dorsey sat down at the piano and began to play. And finally, sensing God's peace and closeness, he began to sing new words and play a new song. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. A hymn that is tremendous in times of grief and suffering. These words brought comfort to him from the God of comfort, who took his hand, who led him on through the valley, and friends, who leads us in the light. And I believe Paul also found this comfort in God, and I believe you will as well. As you go through difficult times, real storms in life, right, immense challenges, you are going to find out that our God is a God of comfort. We can trust God to give us what we need when we need it so that we can be victorious in this Christian walk that we are on. There is no comfort template that fits every Christian. That has to be understood, right? I mean, God is looking at us individually, and he prepares for us individually the work that he has for us. And along with that, that individual preparation is the individual comfort, right, that enables us to get through it. And I find it interesting that Paul says that he didn't think he was going to make it through this experience, right? And none of us are experiencing what Paul experienced, yet the comfort that God gave Paul is a symbol of the comfort that God wishes to give us. Now, if I'm going through a financial crisis, that's going to be different than a crisis that I have physically, right? And it's the same way in our spiritual walk. God is giving me the comfort I need at a time that I need it, when I need it, and how I need it. God gives me that comfort. Me! He doesn't give me the same comfort that he gives Kirsten. He doesn't give me the same comfort that he gives Greg. It's me. It's individualized, right? God gives me the comfort that I need at the time that I need it, where I need it. And if you're walking with God, you don't need to fear anything because you are under the shadow of his wing, friends. The comfort that I have today is tailored for my daily needs as I need them. But there's also an intentionality with this, right? With the comfort of God. It says this in verse 4. He gives us comfort in our troubles, and we can then comfort one another who have the same troubles. We give the same kind of comfort that God gives us. You see, my life is not just happenstance or an accident. Rather, there's a purpose and an intention for my walk with Christ. Therefore, the comfort that God gives me is an intentional comfort, not a last-minute Band-Aid. Right? If God's comfort to me is just to satisfy my needs at that time, I would have nothing to share with anyone else. God's comfort is of such a nature that it floods my life overflowing in such a way that he can touch the lives of those around me. That God's comfort in my life is such a nature that it becomes a testimony to the people around me who are going through similar problems and difficulties. Talk to Don about that and how they lived their life in the midst of all of this. Talk to so many people in our church who have gone through this, right? Rick Croft. I mean, just go and talk to them and talk about how their testimony of how God comforts them have allowed them to comfort others who are going through the same thing. Friends, our times of struggle prepare us to comfort the others during theirs. Our time of struggle prepares us, right, to comfort others during theirs. The truth is, God does not comfort me to make me comfortable. Whoa. He doesn't comfort me to make me comfortable. He comforts me so that I might be a comforter for others, right? Some Christians are so self-centered. Toe-stomping time, friends. They are focused on their own issues, their own needs, and their own desires, and they forget that they have been comforted so that they may be a comfort to others. I mean, have you walked through depression? Well, perhaps you can support others that are going through that right now, right at this moment. Have you been abused? Perhaps you can use how God has comforted you over the years to be a comfort to others during this time. Do you struggle financially? Perhaps you can do others and serve others in that way so that they aren't struggling and that they sense this comfort. The end of your tribulation is not the end of your story. You are not to be selfish, friends, with the testimony that God has given to you. For in the midst of the testimony, in the middle of your healing, you are being prepared, you are being molded to be the comfort that another person needs. Believe it. Believe it. Just like Paul gave testimony to the importance of God's comfort in his own life, and as I experience the individual aspect of God's comfort in my life, I begin to understand that it's an intentional from God's point of view, that we have an inspirational aspect of the Holy Spirit weaving the comfort in and out of my life. No matter what I'm going through, it is not bigger than God. No matter what you're going through, it is not bigger than God. And the comfort God has for me would be more than enough to get me through this problem and this difficulty victoriously. And I think sometimes that we are taken to a place where we are giving it our last shot and we're sinking for the last time and there's nothing in us that can save us and there's no human resource. And friends, I believe that's when God steps in and intervenes in a powerful way. There's a story of a workman who was employed on this building project, one of the high-rise ones, and a long time ago. And it was necessary because of some deadlines and some bad weather that they had to actually work at night. And while busy on the kind of edge of this wall, he slipped and he fell off balance. And he fell over the edge and he grabbed the edge of the wall with both hands and he hung on desperately. And he began to scream and he began to call somebody for help, right? I mean, someone to rescue him. But it was pitch black, right? I mean, the riveter is kind of riveting, I guess. Is that what they call it? I don't know. The riveting machines were going. The metal hammers were beating and pounding and the mechanical motors were running and nobody could hear a word. And gradually his arms grew numb and he hung over the street below and his fingers began to slip and against every effort of his own will to hang on, he lost his hold and he fell 3 inches to the scaffold that was right underneath his feet. It had been there the whole time. See, darkness prevented him from seeing it, and all through his anxiety, he was safe. You know, we're often terrified by our predicaments. All the while, there's a scaffolding of God's care and comfort underneath of us. Our ignorance does not change that certainty, but our ignorance does destroy the peace, doesn't it? We need to remember that underneath us are God's everlasting arms, and you don't know until your fingers slip and you drop. Sometimes it's at the bottom that we truly realize that God is the one that has been holding us all along. In my past, when I was hurting, I would hurt in private. You know, although others can say, like I said, you know when I'm not doing well. I don't hide it very well. I am horrible at that. My EQ on that is like, pew. You know, you kind of know when I'm upset or when I'm frustrated or when I'm happy. And but in my past, when I was hurting, I tried to hurt in private, and all those others could clearly see that I was in pain. I had to be strong. And when you factor that in of being a Christian and a person of faith and a minister and a pastor, oftentimes I felt that there was no room for me to be weak because I had so many people depending on me to be strong for them. I want to tell you that all of us at some point in our life will need comfort. All of us are going to need that. We will need someone to listen to us and to understand and to speak words of faith in our situation based on what God has done for them and how God has led them through those times or what he has revealed to them for us to hear. There will be times when we need somebody to tell us it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Some of you will have scars, either physical or emotional scars, from the trials of your life. But remember that your scar tells a story, and I just want you to think about that scar. Friends, I believe you can be proud of those scars. I really do. Because they prove that you have suffered, but they also prove that you've survived those difficulties, those moments in life where you've been at the bottom. The phrase that what Paul is really trying to communicate here is this: I have suffered. And I have the scars, and I have survived, and I have a story to tell of God's deliverance. Amen. We are battered, but we are not defeated, right? And we know how this ends, right? Jesus will return, and that time he will set everything right. There will be a day where there's no more death and no more storms, no more pain and no more fear. There'll be no more tears. And we may not understand the trial or the pain that we are in right now. However, it is not our job to understand it. It is our job to trust the one who brings us through it. All of us have had personal experience with God that we can use to help somebody along their journey. We have come through situations. We have arrived over the rough side of the mountain and to now enjoy the blessings of seeing God's deliverance in our life. And we have had times when we have cried out and God has heard us. We have had times where we are on the receiving end of being comforted. It's going to be okay. We've received those from family members, right? Those friends, those coworkers, maybe a congregation member or those in our community who have just said, it's going to be okay. I'm right here. I'm right with you. But the question is will we shut down and keep to ourselves what God has freely given to us? And here's another one. This one here hit me this week. Will I be so focused on what I am going through now that I will miss the opportunity to ease the pain of somebody else? Will we be so focused on what we're going through now, so focused on ourselves, of what we are going through now, that we will miss the opportunities that God gives us to ease the pain and the worry and the anxiety of somebody else? See, God needs each of us to allow his compassion and his love to flow through us. Do not be a black hole of God's comfort, right? Where light comes in and it cannot escape. Allow your light to shine so that others may see. Allow God's love and comfort to flow through you and to you as I desire and I choose to do. For it's through comfort, through God's comfort, that we develop a closer, steadfast walk with him. Be comforted and be a comfort to one another, rejoicing in the one who gives us eternal healing, eternal wholeness, Jesus the Christ. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you so much for your love and for your grace. We thank you for the hope that never fails and the joy of our salvation that is found in you. We ask, Lord God, that as we continue to find ways to be with one another, you know, as we talked about loving one another and praying with one another and confessing to one another, God, that we will find opportunities to comfort one another. It looks different during this time, yeah. I mean, I get it. I mean, it looks different to comfort one another during this time. But Lord God, when we comfort one another, whether it's through words or prayers or cards or phone calls or just seeing each other in the grocery store, sometimes just those little moments can bring an encouragement and a comfort to us. So God, I just pray, wherever we are sitting right now, that we can just open up our hearts just a little bit wider for one another, that we comfort one another in such a way that honors you and then edifies and encourages the body of believers here at ECOB and beyond these walls to Ephrata and all of the surrounding communities, God, that we want to be a place that people can come to receive that comfort that you have given to us. So God, open up our heart, open up our mind, because God, you are so good. You are amazing. You are holy. And we lift up your name.